Trigvi Hammer is with us. He's running for Congress. That's right. Both conventions are in town, in Fargo, where I'm sitting right now, the Democratic Convention and the Republican Convention. Now, Mr. Hammer is seeking the Democratic nomination for North Dakota's lone convention or congressional seat, and he's in studio with us. Trigvi, good to have you on News and Views.
Hey, good to be here.
Let's do it this way. Let's start by doing this. Tell people who you are.
Well, quick story. Last night I was talking about different careers I've had, and I mentioned how much I made, the pittance I made when I was a regional airline pilot, and then Katrina's campaign manager said, "Wait, you've done that too?" So. Yeah, I've had a very varied career.
I've met you. I didn't know you did that too.
Yeah, I grew up in Velva. I joined the Navy out of high school. I ended up in the nuclear power program. Had a friend who applied to the Naval Academy, so did I. I got in right away. He got there two years later after going to the prep school. Went out of there and I got a commission in the Marine Corps. Went out and I flew helicopters in Hawaii. That was a hardship tour. Took a forward air controller tour, learning to bring in bombers to hit targets, and then went back to the academy and was an instructor there. Back out to the fleet to fly helicopters. 2001 is when I started my airline career. Now I'm in the reserves, and I joined an infantry unit out of Memphis, and I was in a 767 taxiing out of LAX on my way to simulators on 9/11. So, that was the first interruption in my airline career. Yep. And got myself out to the house we had in Annapolis and eventually started that. But then 2003, my unit deployed to Iraq. So I went to Iraq as an infantry weapons platoon commander. And I always say that, I flew helicopters in Hawaii watching the gray whales breach and everything. But the best time I had in the Marine Corps was 2003 in Iraq, 130 degrees, no air conditioned spaces or anything. But, you have that group of guys and you're really doing the mission. And it was really a great feeling.
Wow. I mean, what a career you've had. And I know that you know where the oil patch is as well.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So, just to continue on, I come back from Iraq, was an airline pilot for a little bit longer. My wife at the time was also active duty Navy. So we were a dual service family. She got stationed in Rome for a school. So I went over there and I was I worked in the embassy. I wrote speeches for the ambassador and for the admiral in charge of NATO over there. Came back from that and decided I wasn't going to pursue this airline thing any longer. Worked for a defense contractor, then did some security work. Ended up in Italy again for a little while. Came back and returned here to North Dakota in 2016. Been 3 years as a high school 7-12 science teacher, which will kind of make you miss combat in Iraq. Went out to the oil field. I was a roughneck on workover rigs in the Bakken. I've been a freight rail conductor, and now I'm a career counselor over at Job Corps, Burdick Job Corps in Minot, where we help young folks pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
I went to the Twins game yesterday. How do you
Joel
compete
works in
against
real water.
I worked in real water. I mean, it's how do you compete against that? My God, what a life! I mean. You're a young man, and you've done all of that already? Wow.
I'm older than I look. We'll say that.
Well, not when you're my age, you're not. But, way to go. I mean, how exciting. Why Congress? Why do you want this job?
Well, I ran in 2022 for PSC and came up short. And as I went around the state and met people, I found out the reason I came up short was my name just didn't get out there. My story didn't get out there. People who got to know me said, well, I'd have voted for you, but they'd never heard of me. They'd seen my name on the ballot and not voted. And I made a promise during that cycle that I would be back on the ticket for the Democrats, because one criticism we had right straight out of the convention last time was that we never had anybody repeating on the ticket. It was always a whole new slate of people. Mm-hmm. So promised I'd come back. I started looking at what race and people were reaching out to me saying, hey, why don't you look at this congressional race? And I was interested. And then we just watched, 2023, how there was absolute dysfunction in the U.S. House of Representatives, how this small cabal from the so-called Freedom Caucus was just throwing a wrench into everything. And, Kevin McCarthy was just their their puppet. The entire thing was broken, and it still is. And the only way you fix that is by having a Democrat in the U.S. House of Representatives, by having a Democratic majority. Otherwise, it's going to be those same few people who we're always hearing in the news running things or causing things not to run in the U.S. House.
Well, we still don't have a farm bill. I mean, that's probably one of the best examples I can give. But you're running in a red state, and you just said the only way to fix the dysfunction of the U.S. Congress right now is by having a Democrat in leadership. That's a dangerous thing to say in a red state. How do you get elected doing that?
I think you just need to you need to tell people the truth. And also, you know, so there's a lot of negative messaging, and we as Democrats have not been very good at firing back. And the easy way you fire back is by coming out with examples. You need to get down to the real details, because that's where all their plans fall apart. You know, like you look at, you know, the abortion bans. They said, well, no one's going to, you know, have their life in danger or have to travel to, you know, have something done for the, if they're late term pregnancy. Well, then you had that Kate Cox story down in Texas that shows that, yes, this does happen. And they said IVF wasn't in danger. Well, look at that. It did happen. And they say, well, no, Democrats don't care about North Dakota. Well, you know, now we have NDSU is going to be getting $160 million over 10 years as an innovation engine with the National Science Foundation. That came from the CHIPS and Science Act, and that was voted on almost entirely by Democrats. So they care about agriculture. They care about bringing things to North Dakota. We need to get out there and let people know it.
Well, one of the strongest times we've ever had in terms of actually strong farm bills came because of Democrats. Right. I mean, I like the fact that you're not running and hiding from, you know, where you're at. When we come back, I want to know why, though. A lot of people texting in wanting to know and look more about while they're sitting in front of their computer and listening to this conversation, what your website is. Trigvi Hammer is in studio running for Congress. What's your address?
All right. It's hammerfornd.com. That's hammer like the tool, FORND.com.
It's that easy, right? It's that easy. All right. So let's talk a little bit. Well, let's go to some of these text questions for you. Number one, people want to know whether or not you support Ukraine.
I 100% support Ukraine. We are the defenders of democracy around the world. And when Russia first invaded and you saw those, Russia should have just run right over Ukraine. The problem was that when you get rid of the people who are really good at their job in favor of the people who are loyal to an autocrat like Vladimir Putin, then you end up with an unprofessional army. I saw that their armor lined up on the road like that. And like I told you, I was a forward air controller before. Almost salivating, you could bring in a couple of F-18s and just knock out that whole line of armor in no time. So, and what we have right now, it's very cost effective for us too, because we have basically a mercenary army, another nation's army, fighting against someone who we know is our enemy, who is out to hurt the United States. And we know that from, you might remember in 2010, July 4th, they rounded up all those sleeper cells in the United States that that Putin had over here. And you know, they weren't here to help us out. They weren't here for cultural exchange. They were here to damage the United States of America.
So let's talk about this a little bit. What separates you from East and West Coast Democrats?
You know, I was saying last night that I've hardly thought about East and West Coast Democrats. I haven't thought about the DNC. I haven't thought about the DCCC. And I've assumed that they're not thinking about me either. But when I think about Democrats, who do I think about? I think about Kent Conrad. I think about Byron Dorgan. I think about Earl Pomeroy. I think about Heidi Heitkamp. I think about those Democrats I have known, and we're just common sense people. You know, we want to love who we love, do our job, come home, help our neighbors when we can, and not feel bad if one of those neighbors, you know, if it's through some of our tax money that neighbor is being helped, that's fine. You know, we're happy with that.
The reason I ask that is because this text message came in, and people like to use labels because, you know, if the candidate themselves, you know, uses that label, that name, you know, that's what they test you on. In this particular case, they said, ask him how he classifies himself. Is he a conservative Democrat or a blue dog Democrat or a Democrat that just keeps handing out money that increases the debt? I mean, that's the question.
Well, okay, I have thought about the blue dog caucus if I would get into the House of Representatives, because a lot of those people in that caucus are what I'm like. You have to get there, though, and reach out to the entire caucus if you want to get anything done.
Somebody wants to know, ask Tregvi, how do we get his opponent, Julie Fedorchuk, to support the U.S. Senate border bill? We have to end this stalemate. Your thoughts on that?
You know, right now, the U.S. House doesn't want to get anything done on that. They want it to be an issue continuing on. So that's why they rejected that border bill. You see various Republicans running down to the border, constantly jumping up and down and pointing. And it's a problem that we can fix. That bill would do a lot of the fixing. Another thing that would do a lot of the fixing is, if you think about it, I have a friend who lives down in Panama. He was in the regional airline I was in. And he lives there because he can retire there and his money goes a lot further. You don't want to solve this problem right at the border. We know what nations are coming here, where our people are fleeing from to come here, and we can actually make the visa process, immigration process, work better there for less money and at less of a human toll.
I've been saying that until I blew in the face, making people try to think, look, they're coming from somewhere that they call home. And something is going on there that makes them pack everything they have literally on their back and walk to a new country for a new start. Why aren't we focusing on what is happening there, like we did in other administrations, both Republican and Democrat, and say, look, you know, your governance, is that your problem? Is it your poverty? Is it what? You know, because quite frankly, if we're worried about them coming here, what does it take to stop them from coming versus now dealing with it right at the border? And I don't understand why, Mr. Hammer, that we don't work on it more there.
Yeah. And there's just the human suffering that they don't seem to even think about. And it's also, you know, any kind of security problem, you don't want to solve it at the last minute. You don't want to solve it right at the border. And a lot of people have brought up fentanyl too, except it's not those people escaping their countries and coming across the Rio Grande that are carrying that fentanyl. That's coming in through the checkpoints or finding other ways around. So those immigrants trying to sneak across they're not the mules for this for fentanyl coming in the U.S.
So when you look at what the Republicans in Congress have become, the Marjorie Taylor Greene Republican caucus, I mean, to me, if you win this race and you're in a position where you have to work with someone like that, how do you do it? I mean, how do you work with ideologues like that? I've got 30 seconds, then we'll get. Tell you what, let's get your answer on the after the bottom on that. Okay.
Right.
What's your website again if people want to check you out?
It's hammerfornd.com. Hammer like the tool, FORND.com.
You can tell he's still in the service. He's got the best haircut in the room, doesn't he?
He absolutely does.
He absolutely does. Definitely worth your time to take a look. Going to get the nomination from the Dem NPL this weekend to be on that ballot in the fall. More coming your way on News and Views. Tregvi Hammer is with us. He's seeking the Democratic nomination for that spot to be North Dakota's lone member of Congress, and he's going to get it. He's going to get it at the convention this weekend, and he's going to be running against either Rick Becker or Julie Fedorchuk or Alex Balazs. How do you pronounce his name? I don't know him.
I don't know either. Balazs, maybe?
He's starting to get people's attention.
Yeah.
You know, we finally got a phone number for him. You know, we'll try to track him down and try to get him on, as we're doing with Tregvi. Let me tell the story that you just told. We're sitting here talking on the break, and we're talking about Burdick Job Corps. With everything else you've done, worked in the Navy, with the Marine Corps, airline, you worked in the oil patch. I mean, all of those things, what you're doing now with Burdick Job Corps. Tell the story of that young woman you told me.
You know, like I said earlier, we help kids pull themselves up by their bootstraps at Burdick Job Corps. You have to be financially disadvantaged usually to go there. And a lot of these kids have come in with rough lives, and most of them are on Medicaid. So I take this young lady down for a job interview in Bismarck at Bobcat there, at Deuce and Bobcat. And she goes in, she nails it, hired as we drove back up to Burdick Job Corps, making $25 an hour. And that also means we've taken someone off of Medicaid. She's going to have good health insurance at Bobcat, and she's got a good future ahead of her. And that's, the pay for staff at Burdick Job Corps, not great, but that's kind of that second paycheck you get. You know, when I was teaching, I'll go around still to this day around Minot, Velva, Granville, and I'll hear Mr. Hammer, and it's just a good feeling. You've made a difference in someone's life, and they're happy to see you. You know?
Where did she learn how to weld?
She learned how to weld right there at Burdick Job Corps, because when you come into Burdick Job Corps, you do two things. Assuming you've come in without your high school degree, you're working on your high school diploma and GED, and you're also learning a trade. So we have, people learning the auto trade, office administration, CNA, culinary, welding,
carpentry. I didn't mean to make this. I've done the show there, and I wanted to make sure people knew about the rewarding work you do. I mean, that has to be just incredibly rewarding. And she's a perfect example. You know, is she down welding in Gwinner?
No, she's welding at Deuce and Bobcat in Bismarck.
Bismarck. Yep. Okay. So, see? Building Bobcats, making sure they travel all over. Trigby, if you were in the first day in Congress and you looked at what the focus number one had to be on, that this is priority one, what would it be?
Well, priority one is just getting the House of Representatives to work again and get things done. Right now, the tone is so bad in the U.S. House of Representatives, and it's we have that little cabal that does not want to get anything done. So that's the first thing, and that's really by having them out of the majority is where we fix that. And then I think there's a lot of reaching out to do within the Democratic caucus to bring North Dakota's problems, our issues, into that caucus. And so those would be my first two things I'd be thinking about.
Text messages come in. It said, tell him to drive home the fact that the current MAGA House is the least productive in history. They've passed hundreds fewer bills and are constantly in chaos. So it's exactly what you said. They believe you.
Yeah. When nothing is getting done, people notice, and North Dakotans don't like that. They want someone to go there and work for them. And also you have these people get to these seats and they start thinking about it as, this is my House seat. No, it's not. You are doing a job. Your salary might not be paid by your district. It's paid by the federal government, but that is who you work for, and you need to remember that.
Somebody, and this is a fair question, Trigby, what, if any, social or economic policies or party platform positions of the DNC would you disagree with?
Now, this assumes that I'm familiar with the party positions of the DNC. Like I said before, I haven't thought about the DNC or the DCCC or any of those things. And so you really got to get down, like I said earlier, to the specifics. You got to name a plank and see what I say. I know the things I disagree with. Like earlier, or think about a week ago, we heard like 170 Republicans signed on and to a solution for Social Security to be, raising the age when you can start drawing your Social Security. And the problem with that, well, there's a few problems with that. One, it takes a long time to kick in. Two, it doesn't take care of a large percentage of the problem. And three, it puts the onus on the backs of working people, because working people also tend to live shorter lives. So they're less likely to ever, or they're going to draw much less of their Social Security.
And it's just a fact. They're wore out.
Yeah, there are ways to fix it, but they pick the way that hurts the working people the most.
Yeah, I mean, somebody, you're already making friends. Somebody says, can I get a yard sign? your campaign worker sitting over there nodding up and down. I'll give you the phone number. You can connect with them. Somebody wants to know, and they're questioning us on focusing energy on the countries where these individuals that are crossing the border are coming from. And they're saying, so now we want to give billions to fix other countries' problems. Your answer to that?
it wouldn't be us giving those countries billions. It would be our State Department having a better presence there and a better ability to process those immigrants. You know, General Mattis was the commanding general of 1st Division, 1st Mar Div, when I was over in Iraq. So he was our commanding general. And then when he became Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense, one of the things he said was, you know, every dollar you don't spend on diplomacy, I have to spend on bullets. And again, it's easier to work early in the problem than at the end of the problem.
I want to talk about stereotypes. Here you are, a Navy man, a Marine Corps man, a pilot. A lot of people, you know, you worked in the oil patch. A lot of people, if you had no idea that you were running for Congress and they just ran into you in a cafe and you gave this background, instantly they would assume that you're not a Democrat. They would assume that you are a Republican, as though Democrats don't support the military, as though Democrats don't support this country, as though we don't adhere to and respect the flag and the people that served under it. I mean, what are your answer to those people that are sitting down having a cup of coffee who believe that?
Yeah, I just think they haven't really been paying attention. Remember Bob Kerry from Nebraska? He served. Pete Buttigieg has served in the U.S. Navy. John F. Kennedy served in the U.S. Navy in World War II. It's just really a messaging thing is the problem. You know, and we have been bad at countering that messaging. I'm not the only military guy who is running for Congress as a Democrat this year. There's quite a few of them. In fact, I get their marketing text messages all the time.
Yeah. Somebody said welding, what a dead end job, $25 an hour for life. Obviously, this person has never even mentally put themselves in that position.
Oh, yeah. That's a starting wage. Welders can make really good money.
It isn't just that. It's like you had a troubled teen who worked her way through and now has a job.
Yep.
And that job's going to pay her about $50,000 a year. If you would have asked her that 2 years earlier, she would have never anticipated that. And yeah. It's text messages like that that just drive me nuts. Instead of honoring the fact that this young girl through Burdick Job Corps and people like you pulled herself up, as you said, by her bootstraps and now is out there building Bobcats. No, I'm not going to agree with that text message, okay? It says a text message. I'm a combat zone vet. Dang right, I'm a Democrat. It's part of the reason I'm actively look for veteran political signs.
Oh, as a Marine, I just want to say, yeah,
somebody said,
I agree totally.
Somebody says 100 fewer bills in Congress. Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, that's fine. That's kind of related to another thing I've heard. One of the possible opponents say, you know, a little government shutdown never hurt anyone. Well, that's pretty callous, because a little government shutdown, it never hurts anyone that they care about. But it does hurt people. It hurts people that count on the services that are cut during that shutdown. It hurts those lower income people who are in the government service who now, oh no, I need to make my rent payment, need to pay for my child care and keep that online, and I don't know when my pay is going to restart again. You know, normally they get it back, but they're put in a financial bind, and these Republicans just do not think about those kind of people. Those kind of people just working for a wage and making ends meet.
This goes into your experience as a man who's wore a uniform to defend Americans. This says, can you explain why it's so important that we prosecute the mishandling of top secret documents, why it's so important to have health care for women, and why it's so important to prosecute those who breached the grounds on January 6th? So there's three there: top secret documents, rights for women, and the insurrectionists.
But, you know, I have had a top secret SCI clearance with full polygraph. And, you learn information in that and you protect that information. And if I had ever taken any of that home with me, I would have been in jail, and I would have been in jail pretty fast. if they found that out. And it's critical because other countries having that information can do severe damage to the United States. It can reduce. We've worked hard to have our military and intelligence advantages. And the other thing it can do, not only does it hurt that, but it can get people killed. It can get people who are agents for our intelligence officers, get them in the line of fire. Now we've lost an asset, we've lost information, and it can end up being pretty expensive to try to get the stuff that we were getting before.
Okay, that's the top secret documents. Rights for women.
Well, rights for women, and you can tie that to the military too. So if you're serving in Texas, say, and they have their 6-week abortion ban and you need an abortion, you want to go out of state. And this is the thing that Tuberville was holding everything up for, is because he didn't think the military should pay for those people to go out of state to get the services that they need. And one of the things I'm hearing all the time, and in fact, when I get checks in the mail, people supporting my campaign, they're like, we need women's bodily autonomy. And it's a really big issue for them. And it's just government intruding in our lives, which I didn't think Republicans were supposed to like, but it's, you know.
What about the insurrectionists?
It's funny because there are some people who are trying to tell us that, you know, we saw them at the Ellipse and then we saw them go down and we saw them break into the Capitol. We saw all of this with our own eyes, and now they try to tell us that there was something different. And they absolutely need to be prosecuted. They deserve to be prosecuted. I remember that day as well as I remember being in that airliner on 9/11.
Okay. One more time, your website?
It's hammerfornd.com. That's hammer, like the tool, F-O-R-N-D.com.
Trigvi Hammer is with us. He's running for North Dakota's lone seat in the United States Congress, and we were talking about his work aside from being in the Navy, aside from being in the Marine Corps, or being a Marine. How's that? I'm not going to get in trouble like I did with Bill Anderson once. Once a Marine?
Always a Marine.
There you go. Airline carrier. I mean, pilot, helicopter. Amazing. Your job at the Burdick Job Corps jumps at me. And maybe it's just because of my passion, the people that work on infrastructure. But this person said, there is no future in any job. The future is in the person that holds the job.
I think that's very true. And, you know, I've been a member of 3 different labor unions. I've been a member of the Airline Pilots Association when I was a regional airline pilot. I was a member of ND United when I was teaching up in Granville. And I was a member of the SMART Union when I was a rail conductor. And unions are where they're looking out for the people. And we've seen a rise in popularity of unions out there because people are really starting to see this split in the incomes. Yep. The CEO is making millions and millions of dollars, and you can't give the guy, you know, working every day
exactly
a break.
There's going to be such a separation. I got a buddy who's very active in the local 49, and you know the amount of money they put into training themselves is just immense. I want to put this one out there. I got this from a Republican friend that says he's the real deal. We have so few military vets as office holders in North Dakota, even though there are so many vets in the state. Proud of him.
Oh,
you're a married man, right?
I am.
Well, it's too late. I'm just saying, well, I mean, clearly this is somebody that respects you, that I respect. I just want to point out. So one more time, how do people get in touch with you?
Hammerfornd.com. That's hammer, like the tool, F-O-R-N-D.com.